verse 7 and 8, I read a couple of verses and I'll be in Exodus and roundabout because the Passover is about the lamb. Y'all understand that? We in Passover week for the Jews, they celebrated Passover week for many, many hundred years before Jesus Christ came to this earth. So we're going to be talking about the lamb. Okay. Y'all got me again? Thank you. Appreciate it. Is this time 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was getting ready for the cross of Calvary. After living 33 years about it on this earth, walking on this earth and never having sinned, knew no sin, but yet he was willing to die for your sins and my sins on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. This time 2,000 years ago, Palm Sunday had already passed. We're in the middle of the week. Palm Sunday, whenever Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem, they have in the hail to Jesus Christ, laying palm branches down as he come into the city. The same ones hailed Jesus Christ, the same ones that crucified Jesus Christ a few days later. Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, getting ready to go to the cross, celebrated the Passover with his disciples, that last Passover. For hundreds of years, the Jews from the time of Exodus, that Jesus Christ was represented as a Passover lamb. But from the time that the Jews was brought out of Egypt, many hundred years before Jesus Christ came to this earth, Moses, we know that Jesus Christ is represented as that lamb. The Jews, after that, learned how to celebrate the Passover. The Passover. We've been celebrated many hundred years of the Jewish history, and the Jews hadn't been taught how to celebrate the Passover. But Jesus Christ is our Passover, and we as Christians have to learn how to celebrate the Passover. A lot of times we understand the Passover, really, and Easter is interwoven both together. It's very important. Without the resurrection, you know, your hope of heaven would not be worth one half a hallelujah and all the aspects of heaven without Jesus Christ. But he bursts forth all of the aspects for you and I today. It amazes me as you continue to grow as a Christian and to understand all the aspects, and you'll never understand all of them, what Christ done for you on Calvary's cross. But reflection back to the Passover of the Egyptians was had the Jewish people in bondage and how that they was taskmasters to them and how that they served and how they worked and how they was in bondage. But Jesus Christ is represented as that lamb, and God brought them out. Let us read in 1 Corinthians 5 verses 7 and 8. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the Passover, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let us pray. Father Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord, for this week. Father, we want to thank you what it represents to each and every one of us, what you've done 2,000 years ago, that you loved your life. Lord, that you did not want to lay your life down, but you was willing to do that for the will of the Father. And Father, for the love that you had for me, myself, Lord, for all the many millions of people God would come after. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for these 2,000 years, for the salvation, Lord, that you have made possible, that we as people here, Lord, that our family, our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, and all, Lord, that you had died, Lord, that we have a life. That, Lord, we recognize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But, Father, we understand that you have all power in heaven and earth because you died on the cross of Calvary. And, Lord, that you shed that precious blood. As we understand what you've done 2,000 years ago, that great Passover as we celebrate here this night, the Passover of Jesus Christ, how, Father, that you passed over us, because we are under the blood of Jesus. Everyone here this hour have an opportunity to see heaven. They have an opportunity to see Jesus Christ because of the shed blood. Father, and have our sins forgiven. Father, for us to be white as snow. Father, for us to be righteous. We want to thank you, Lord, for the robes of righteousness of Jesus Christ that we wear this hour. We under the blood of Jesus Christ by faith. And this all happened 2,000 years ago. And we thank you, Lord, for this hour, God, that we might praise you and honor you and give you glory for everything that you have done for us, what you're doing in us, in the future, what you're going to do for us also. And these blessings we ask in the precious and the holy name of Jesus Christ, our great Passover this hour. If Jesus Christ is still in the grave, nothing really matters. If Jesus Christ came out of that grave, that's all that does matter. Passover is about a lamb. And this lamb is a lamb of God, Christ's Passover. As we look at this Passover in the Old Testament and the Passover in the New Testament in a few moments that we might have here tonight, as I said, the Jews were commanded to keep the Passover after that night they came out of Egypt. Now, as we see that, the New Testament Christians also are commanded to keep the Passover. The Passover, a lot of times, as we see here on this table before us, it says, remember. And that's what we're supposed to do, remember the Passover, the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for us to remember, there's so many people today that don't remember the Passover. They're not observing the Passover because they're not worshiping and they're not serving Jesus Christ. But he says, remember, and we are commanded to keep the Passover. Verse 8, let us keep the Passover, the feast of the Passover. You put your name there where it says, let us, every one of us. If you're saved, you put your name there. Let us keep the feast of the Passover. As the Old Testament Jews had to learn to keep the Passover as Christians, as we grew in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have to learn to keep the Passover. Jesus is our Passover. There's two things I like to talk to you about. Moses is a symbol of the lamb and the symbolic, but also Mary saving lamb tonight. As we look in the Old Testament, we see how these two, Moses symbolic lamb and Mary saving lamb, interwove together in the history of the Jews and also the history of the Christian people since Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. The Jews that was in slavery in Egypt, they was in bondage, and it represents each and every one of us that we was lost in sin. We was in bondage of the old devil himself. We could not get out. The Jews could not free themselves. They had a great taskmaster, but we have a taskmaster also, and it's called the devil, the time that whenever we was lost ourselves. Egypt represents sin. It represents darkness and it represents slavery that we're always all in. That's the reason we're here this day. And when we celebrate Easter, we celebrate the Passover, we celebrate what Jesus Christ done, we do the same thing that the Jews learned. As they look back to that great night that they was in bondage and the Lord brought them out with this great mighty hand with the shed blood of a lamb. As we look back in our history and see what you and I was before that we were saved, that we was in bondage, we was in sin. We know we have sinned. Everybody in this building know that we have sinned, and we will not forget that. Too many times we forget where we come from. Out of bondage of slavery, and out of bondage of darkness, and out of bondage now of sin. That's what the Egypt represents. And Pharaoh represents that old hard taskmaster, the devil himself. You see, when you reach that age of accountability, that old taskmaster takes hold. If there's not a change in your life from time that you get old enough to understand that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God as a child, you begin to walk away from God. When you walk away from God, you're walking towards the devil. As you walk towards the devil, he is that great taskmaster. Now you are born into sin. Now as you see, you was born into sin, but you sin by choice whenever you leave God. If you're not a great change over there, you as a child, if you don't change over, then that you in bondage of Satan and you walk away from God and you're walking towards your Satan. Now he's got you where he wants you. You belong to him. There's two families in the world. There's a family of Satan, there's a family of God. And you get into the family of Satan by your natural birth as you come to this world. Every child that's born in this world is born with a nature of sin. You don't have to teach kids how to tell a story. You don't have to teach kids how to be mean. They come to this world with that fallen nature, each and every one of us. You know where my kids, they have also sinned. My kids, I didn't have to teach them how to be mean. They knew how to do that because they got it from their father. I got it from my father, and we all got all the way back to Adam. Everyone, they just done what come naturally. And there's a person in here this night that don't know Jesus Christ. They sin because they do what comes naturally. Well, you know, we was in bondage and sin, just like the Jews was there in Egypt. And the old Pharaoh, he's an old taskmaster. Now, he represents old Satan, who keeps the child of God in bondage. Every one of us, God died for the whole world. But you see, there is a taskmaster. There's old Satan that keeps God's chosen people, God's people, in the bondage. God died for everybody. But you see, God, at a certain time in the Jews' life, after 400 years in the bondage, you see, he heard their cries. He heard their prayers, and it come up to him. Have you ever prayed that prayer, you know, of repentance? He's listening. He's waiting now for any person in this world to pray that prayer of repentance. As the Jews for 400 years, he said he heard their cry from heaven, and he come down to deliver them. And it was only by the shed blood of that lamb they might be delivered. I'm going to tell you what, if there anybody in this world, this hour, this very minute, it wants to be delivered by the very precious blood of Jesus Christ, you pray that prayer. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve hell, but Jesus Christ, I believe what you've done on Calvary's cross, that you died for me. And John, I'm going to apply this by faith. If you just forgive my sins, and you said you would, and I'll invite you into my heart. And he said, I will come to your heart, and you'll be a new lump. You won't have this old living anymore. You'll be a new lump. So I prayed that prayer, and if anybody in this world has ever prayed that prayer, I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ will save them this night or whatever it might be. You know any friends or family of neighbors, if they'll pray that prayer, it says God heard these people and he come down to deliver them, and you cannot be delivered. They could not get out of bondage. They've been there 400 years. They could not get out of bondage. And I'm going to tell you, each and every person that you know is lost cannot get out of bondage by themselves. They have to have the help of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God to deliver them from that taskmaster. It's called Satan himself. Now, as we read, we know that they're getting ready to be delivered. The symbol of Egypt was like an old snake. That was a symbol of Egypt, an old serpent. And the king himself wore the serpent on his crown. He wore the serpent on his staff to show his power. He had a serpent by his throne there because that serpent was coiled up and ready to strike. It showed the power. But God's going to use something to destroy that snake. God's going to use something to destroy that serpent. And you know what he's going to use? God chose an animal to deliver them out of that serpent's bondage. You know what he chose? He chose a little humble lamb. I mean, the defenseless lamb. I mean, of all the creatures that God could have chose, he chose a humble little lamb. Why? Because he was getting ready. Jesus Christ was a symbol here, getting ready to send his son. That little lamb of God. You see, that little lamb destroyed the Satan hold upon my life. That little lamb that God chose to walk on this earth without sin in his life. God chose Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Mary had a little lamb, and you know what he done? He chose that lamb to deliver me from the coils of that old snake of bondage had bit me and sin and in bondage, and I could not escape the coils of that snake, and he had me where he wanted me. But God chose something. He chose me to get out of bondage by that snake with all the power. You know, I tried, but there's no way that I could get out. But that old lamb, I'm going to tell you what it says, that humble little lamb has no defense of whatsoever of all animals of the world. That little lamb has no defense. That little lamb says, you know, if you're hungry, eat me. And if you're cold, you share me. God chose a lamb to defeat that old serpent. From Genesis to the book of Revelation, God chose a lamb. I'd like to carry you back for a few moments. I need about an hour and a half and I'll be through. But I want to carry you back to Exodus chapter 12 for just a moment. In Exodus chapter 12, where this all started, I'm going to tell you, after 400 years under bondage, oh, that's a long time. It seemed like there was always one generation come, another come, another come, another come, and there's all under bondage. 400 years, your family was born into slavery. We have little children in our midst tonight, little babies. You saw the little babies there in Egypt, they was born into bondage. And let me tell you, mothers, have a little baby there, have another little baby there. You see these little babies, as sweet as they are, they're born into bondage because of your generation, because of your fallen nature. You see, We don't have to worry about little babies that are already saved. They don't need to be saved. But there'll come a day when they need to be saved. But they're born into bondage. In the next generation, to be born into bondage. In the next generation, to be born into bondage. I was. But God saw fit to bring me out of bondage one day. When I cried out to Him, I need help. And we broke that bonds of bondage. You see, that little child that comes into this world, come to this world to spend eternity somewhere. You know, a lot of times it's up to the mother and the father to see that little children come to know Jesus Christ at early age. They don't have to worry about the old taskmaster to Satan. They might cross over into God's family without protection. But we find out in Exodus chapter 1, it says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their father, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb," you never found a household too big, but if it says it's too little, "let him and his neighbor take unto him the house. Take it according to the number of the soul. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year. You shall take it out of from the sheep and from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it." We learn the Jews, we find out this lamb that they chose was a very special lamb. It had to be a perfect lamb, it says in verse 5, without a spot, without a blemish, because it represented what Jesus Christ was come to do. Was he a lamb of God without spot and without blemish, without sin? It says a male of the first year, a male. I want to tell you a little bit about the liberal Bibles this day and time and the new translations that's coming out all the time. I know there's some good translation, but I'll tell you, when you leave the King James, you don't have nowhere to go, because how far will you go? But you see, there's some new translation in this verse 5. What they're trying to do, they de-sick the Bible. It says, "So God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten child." That's not what it says. They say it don't have to be a male. Jesus Christ had to be a male. That lamb had to be a male. If Jesus Christ was not a male, he could not deliver us, or he could not redeem us. But they examined this lamb now for 3 days. They picked this little lamb and they examined this lamb for 3 days. Jesus Christ was examined for 3 days. The priest examined this lamb. We find out that also that he was a lamb to start with, was a very special lamb. He was a very special lamb, had to be picked out and chosen. But not only that, he was a slayed lamb. Verse 6 says, 14 days of the month shall kill it in the eating time. Lambs were to die at a particular time. Jesus Christ had to die at a particular time. It says in Hebrews 10 and 22, without the shedding of blood, there are no remission of sin. That's no forgiveness of sin. We're not saved by the learning of the lessons from the life of Christ. We are saved by receiving life from the death of Christ and his resurrection. But also he was a saving lamb. In verse 22 that they did not read in chapter 12, "And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin that you caught from that lamb, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that's in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door at his house without until the morning." You stay in the house until the morning. See, the Lord Passover, this blood was on the doorpost. Now, he didn't tell them to put rubies. They could put rubies, they could put diamonds. You know, they could put dollars on that doorpost. But that night, it says, the angel of God's wrath, the angel of God's justice, the angel of God's vengeance passed through that lamb. And on his way of safety was walk out under the blood. And I'll tell you right here this night, if there's a person in this building, as you walk out those doors, you'll have to walk out under the blood. If you walk out over the blood, you'll not be saved. You can walk out under the blood as these Jews did. He was a sheared lamb. There in verse 8, as I read, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Verse 12, and I skip on down. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where you are, and you shall see the blood. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. That blood had to be applied. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's where it comes from. 500,000 lambs at that time. Never before, but in Egypt at that time. 500,000 lambs were sacrificed at that certain time, that certain hour. Can you imagine that many roasted lambs? You talk about going sometimes and you smell where they're barbecuing. Boy, I smell somebody barbecuing. Can you imagine all over the land of Goshen? And the Egyptian, what was going on? The smell of roasted flesh throughout the whole land. The aroma was all through the land. Why? Because it said they had to be sacrificed at a certain time. That same lamb saved them. I'm going to tell you, that same lamb that saved them also will strengthen them. Everyone walked out of Egypt under the blood because of that little lamb. And they walked out, listen, they walked out of Egypt with a lamb in them. They feasted on the lamb. They walked out under the blood and they walked out with a lamb inside of them. Christians, this day, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're walking on the face of this earth with Jesus in you. The same lamb that saved you is the same lamb that strengthens you. It's important to feed on Jesus. I'll tell you tonight, I have a lamb inside me. I've accepted that lamb. He shed his blood for me. And I feast on that lamb. And he strengthened me. Just as he strengthened that nation of Israelites to come out of bondage, he strengthens me every day. He strengthened you to stand the test of this world that they were going into, the wilderness of the world. As you and I every day, we venture out into the wilderness of this world, he's strengthening us. Why? We have the lamb in us. Now, from a bunch of slaves or in bondage, they become a nation of people. And I tell you and I this hour, they was fellowshipping together as they fed on the lamb. And I want to tell you, Christian, today, of all nationalities, of all tongues, of all kindred of the face of this earth have accepted Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, we have all become a nation together. These people, they was in bondage as you and I was in bondage. All nations of all tongues, of all nationalities, of all different colors and types of people in the world, I'm going to tell you what, was in bondage. But now we see we have the Lamb of God. We walked out under the blood. We walked out with the Lamb inside of us. And we are feeding and fellowshipping together, and we're feeding on the Lamb. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation. I mean, no other generation. He's talking about from Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary's cross to the day until Jesus Christ come back. You are a chosen generation. You are this hour a royal priesthood and a holy nation. Today he's speaking to you. I'm a priest. You are a priest. We are a holy nation gathered together to worship Jesus Christ. All Christians of all the world, of all times, worship Jesus Christ. We are a nation of believers this day, from a nation of bondage to a nation of believers, a royal priesthood. We are Jesus Christ's special people, that ye shall show forth the praise of him who have called you out of darkness. Had God called you out, you was blind, you could not see, you could not understand, you didn't know why that you rode by churches and you didn't go in, why there was nothing in you to cause you to want to go to church. Many people pass this church and they pass the door to this church and they don't never think about coming in. They never think about church. Why? They never think about Jesus. Why? Because they have nothing inside them to cause them to want to worship Jesus Christ. They're in darkness and they need the light. You was in darkness and you needed that light. Who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light that you might see Jesus Christ. He calls it that marvelous light because what light have Jesus Christ give you? Can't you say it ain't only just the light, it's a marvelous light into my soul. The word of God is a lamp unto my feet and it lights my path as I go. What a light it was. a sacrificial lamb. It was symbolic. Jeremiah 31 and 31. Jeremiah now was looking to the future of this Passover. Jeremiah, now many hundred years the Jews now have celebrated the Passover. Now Jeremiah knew and was prophesied that the Holy Spirit of God moved on him, and he prophesied in Jeremiah that there was something special was going to happen. Something different was going to change. They had been keeping this Passover, killing these lambs, going to the priest, going to the temple, celebrating the Passover each year, many hundred years. Jeremiah, God moved upon him, and he said, there's something going to change, Jeremiah. There's coming a day one day when everybody won't have to grab a lamb and go down to a priest and have that lamb killed and that blood drawn and sprinkled on the holies of holies and that lamb put on that altar and that priest there to burn that lamb. One of these days there'll be something different. That law won't be upon that gatepost, but the law will be in the heart. Jeremiah says in 31:31, behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And he's continued on in Jeremiah 32. Not according to the covenant that I have made with their fathers in the day that I took them out of the land. He's talking out of the land by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, said the Lord. I brought them out. I kept them. They broke it. They sinned, just like you and I today. They broke it. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their heart, and we be their God. They shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Listen, you won't have to be taught about the Lord Jesus Christ by a priest. You will know him. Do you know him tonight? Do you know Jesus? Did everybody in here know Jesus? He says you won't have to be taught by a priest. You won't have to bring a lamb, because you'll know him. You'll know Jesus. I'm glad I don't have to go to a priest. I'm glad I don't have to bring a lamb on Sunday. I'd have to bring a flock for all my sins. I don't believe one would cover it. But Jesus did. Jesus covered it, because it said, John 1:29, the next day, John seeing Jesus come and said unto him, saith, behold the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. I'm going to tell you, New Testament, we are to keep the Passover. The Jews were to keep the Passover. When we come to the Lord's Supper, and this Easter, as we celebrate the Passover of Jesus, the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, we don't have to worry about keeping now as people thinking about he's in the grave, this memorial. Listen, but he rose again. It's a special day because he rose again. As we come now to Mary's saving lamb, Jesus Christ was a very special lamb. Very special lamb. There was never a lamb like this lamb. You know, the priest commissioned a certain generation of shepherds to go down to Jerusalem at Bethlehem's field and begin to raise a special breed of sheep. You know, whenever Jesus Christ was born, it said the shepherd was tending their sheep. These sheep that they were tending there on the hills of Bethlehem when Jesus Christ came into the world was a very special breed of lambs. And they kept doing that for 33 and more years until Jesus Christ came on the scene. And I can't tell you about all this because I'm just getting started. But you see, Jesus Christ was that special lamb. Jesus Christ was that slain lamb. Jesus Christ was that saving lamb. Jesus Christ was that shared lamb. Jesus Christ, that sacrificial lamb. I'm going to tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ. As we think about all these, is hurrying on through, Luke chapter 22 and 19 said, and when he took bread and gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to them. This is my body, which was given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood, which was shed for you. This is my body. This is my blood. He said, I want you to remember. I want you to remember. Special time. These lambs were slain. You see, whenever they was brought in, as Jesus Christ was walking down that hill going into the temple, those lambs was brought in out of the field of Boaz. And it's time that Jesus Christ was going up to that temple mount, those sheep were coming in through the sheep gates. There was 12 gates in the walls of Jerusalem. One of them was called a sheep gate. That's where they brought all the sheep. And those sheep was walking through that sheep gate as Jesus Christ was coming that same hour to be crucified. As they slaughtered those sheep, as those priests were getting ready at the exact time at 3 o'clock, as they would put those sheep, hold up their neck, and they would take their knife and slit their throat, and there was another priest to catch that blood. As that blood was being poured out of that Passover, Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary at that same time, struggling for another breath for you and I. And he said, it's finished. No more Passovers. It is finished. Priest, you can go home. Shepherds, you can retire. There'll be no more Passover. The Lamb of God had been slain from the foundation of the world. The great Passover, Book of Revelations, 10,000 times 10,000, singing glory to the King. As we got that song to put on for just a moment, glory to the King. I'm going to tell you, this Easter will be a very special time for you, a special time for me. Because God said we need to learn how the feast of the Passover and how to learn what Christ has done for you and I and made it possible for what that Passover means for each and every one of us. Every one of us this hour. I'd like for you to bow your heads for just a moment.